The Initial Reaction podcast coming at you from a remote location. We're in the bowels of the Pabst Theater in downtown Milwaukee, getting set for the inaugural. I almost said first annual.
Which would have been
a major journalistic no-no. The inaugural Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Awards, high school sports awards. We're going to be giving away a ton of awards as we record this on Wednesday night to all the athletes of the year in the various sports. And I'm joined by my colleague, Andrew Grumman. How you doing, buddy?
Good. It's a big night for prep sports in the Milwaukee area.
Yes, you are already in your suit.
Yeah.
Hours before the event, and this is not a joke, you are actually in your suit already.
Yeah, I am. I'm all ready to go.
To the threads. I am not. I would be dead in a suit. I'm a large man. I can't handle the heat.
It's a little warm.
It is a little warm. So because this is a special night for high school sports, thought we might chat a little bit about, not that this is a good endpoint for the year, because we're really in the middle of May and there's a lot to come in the spring season. Maybe we leave the spring season alone a little bit, but just looking at some of the highlights from the year, from the current athletic season, the 2016-2017 sports season. We'll be reliving some of those as we record this tonight. By the time you hear it, I'm sure the awards show will be over. You'll have a complete list of winners at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website, but I guess if you had to think back to this previous year, and I know that you were deeply involved in some of these, what's maybe the one thing that jumps to mind? What's the big event that you really think about?
Well, I think it was a big, if you just start off right away in the fall, obviously the flagship sport in the fall football, and it was the Milwaukee area being represented in all three of the top divisions in football, and two of those teams taking home titles with Birchfield East and Catholic Memorial in Division II and Division III. And Franklin in Division I gave Kimberly a great run. So I think if you start with the flagship sport in the fall in football, the Milwaukee area really had a lot of success getting those three teams through, winning two state championships. You think about Brookfield East, the team that did it for the first time, rode a monster performance by star running back Sam Santiago Lloyd.
Definitely,
in the state championship game. To break through to win the first state title is huge for that community. It was such a big deal out there. And then Catholic Memorial kind of getting over the defeat the year before to Green Bay Notre Dame and to come back and avenge the title. So I think that's, starting right in the fall, it was a great time for football teams in the Milwaukee area.
Sam Santiago Lloyd is a name I'm going to, associate with 2016-2017,
yeah,
especially because his career almost didn't work out.
No.
Because, first of all, freshman and sophomore year, everybody kind of knew he was a big deal for Brookfield East as a really high-level running back. He's not a big guy in stature, but we'd seen flashes and we knew he was pretty good, but injuries decimated his freshman and sophomore seasons. He, I believe, ran one play as a sophomore.
Yeah.
It was a 79-yard touchdown or something, and then he breaks his collarbone going down to the ground. So just terrible luck.
Yeah.
And then as a junior, he comes back, has a great year. He's our All-Suburban Player of the Year. And as a senior, he's doing okay, and then he gets hurt again.
Gets hurt.
Middle of the season.
Sprained ankle, and that really impacted him. I'll always remember back to that Brookfield Central regular season game, two of the top teams
Central
in the
won
area.
Big.
And the state Central wins big, and Sam tried to play. You could tell he really wanted to play, and he just couldn't on that ankle. They shut him down. Jake Graff, the quarterback, had a great year. Brookfield East, too, was also injured in that game. And you wonder, well, is Sam going to come back? Because an ankle like that can be tricky, especially for a running back that runs the way he does, his stature. And to Brookfield East's credit, they're patient. They let him sit out.
They took the hits in the regular season. They took third in conference.
They maybe didn't perform up to where they wanted to in the regular season, but they let him get healthy, and that was a big, big key because, boy, he had a monster playoffs. He was able to get his revenge against Brookfield Central in the playoffs and got to play against them and have a big day against them. And not only on the offensive side of the ball, he was an all-state linebacker as a junior.
Right.
And they picked their spots with him on defense. They didn't play him full-time on defense. They picked their spots, but he was an impact player on that side of the ball as well. And kudos to Brookfield East. They didn't try to rush him back with the big picture in mind, and boy, did it ever work out, because it capped it with a record-setting performance at state, set the state record for touchdowns, and really, really carried the Spartans to the title.
One of the most impressive individual football performances I think we've ever seen, and maybe we'll ever see, and he's not the prototypical size to compete at Division I football level, so some smaller program is going to get an absolute gem with this kid, because even though he doesn't fit any particular body type, he's an incredible football player. He is going to be a stud wherever he ends up going. I promise you that. Man, I got a frog in my throat, Grimmin. What is this place? It's the ghost of the Pabst Theater. All right, so let's start. Let's keep it in the fall, because there is one story that is going to be under the radar, because girls swimming is not a sport right. that a lot of us follow super closely. There's something that was done by a Grafton swimmer by the name of Autumn Habig that it's like incredible to think about. Now, what many people who don't follow sports like track and field and swimming may not realize is kids sometimes pick their events based on the schedule. You know, maybe they're good at everything, but they're not going to do events that are back-to-back because that's just, I mean, it's too much strain. You don't want to be at half speed because you just swam a 500. You don't want to do the backstroke because that's two events later, and then you're stuck doing two events, you know, in pretty close proximity. What she did, though, she did three events. One of them was the 500, the most demanding event, the longest event in this, you know, in the program. She swims that, state record, first place. Comes right back, swims the 200 freestyle relay, takes second with her team, helps her team do very well at the state meet. Then she comes back again, wins the backstroke, state record. She's finishing her career with four state records, with 14 state championships. I mean, what she did there is incredible. Nobody does three events in a row. That's just not something that gets done at the state swimming meet. And she not only did it, but performed very well. I mean, girl swimming, you may not know her name or may not notice that performance offhand, but that is singularly one of the best performances that we've ever seen.
You watch, you know, for swimming novices, you watch the Olympics and they track time between swims for, like, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
They'll show him going to the pool where he warms down, cools down. I don't know what they call it. And they're like, they have tracking time between events. And when they're tracking it to factor in an Olympic swimmer's performance and then see a high school swimmer, obviously she's not an average high school swimmer.
No, right.
But to see her be able to do that and bounce back and to swim so many events and swim so many events well, it's one of those just performances that go into the history books that you may never see again, or it's going to be rare because it's fantastic. And, one of the best swimmers this area has seen in a long time, if not ever. And you know, we're probably going to hear about her down the road. Collegiate success.
And Olympic success. And Olympic, I mean, let's not be afraid to say the word Olympics, because that's the type of kid who winds up competing in the Olympics
and
someday.
It's hopefully what this award show is. Brings a spotlight on somebody like that maybe the average average fan doesn't follow that sport or doesn't know that, you know, the amazing accomplishments that she had.
Kimi Davra is another one of those athletes that is just sensational and had such a decorated high school career. She never did win state cross country meet, but a couple second place finishes and state track. She just won all the events. She won a relay title last year. She's won all three 800s and 1600s during her time at the state meet. She's thinking about running, or I should say, I think it's, is it 8 and 16s or 8 and 32s? I get confused about these things. But she's going to try and run, I believe, all three. The 800, the 1600, the 3200. Speaking of a tough triple, the schedule does allow for that this year a little bit differently than it has in the past. So that would be the first time we see that from her. One of the greatest distance runners the state has seen at Whitefish Bay High School. And she's going to look to go out with a bang this spring season. I mean, that would be an incredible feat if she's able to do
that. She's not done yet. We're getting to that time in track and field. And where she'll cap an amazing career. And again, another one that, for the history books, as far as all-time great performers, and someone, again, we're going to hear about down the road, having collegiate success, Olympic success, who knows? I mean, she's going to be a very successful at the next level, based on, what she is. What she has done at dominating the high school level.
Boys basketball is obviously one of the more spotlighted sports. We had several teams make it to state. Arrowhead makes it to the state championship game with an epic semifinal over one of your teams, Brookfield Central, which I think we thought might be the team was to beat. We thought that team was going to win state. Now, Stevens Point came on late in the year, and I'm not sure anyone beats them up there, up in Madison, over in Madison. But Brookfield Central had an incredible year. They've got really good prospects going forward. You had Cedarburg come very close to beating Wisconsin recruit Kobe King and La Crosse Central in the Division II state final. John Diener had a full court, three-quarter court shot that looked online. If that goes in, it's like instantly the greatest shot in state tournament history, or the second greatest. You know, they've had that once before. So that was also very busy time for us, the boys basketball.
Yeah, you know, when I think back at state basketball, those semifinal games were, that was the day I was up there, and they were just two epic games. And first that Cedarburg game with Milwaukee Washington, John Diener, one of the best high school performances in state history, just, was unstoppable. They couldn't stop him. He scored at will, but Milwaukee Washington also was tough.
Yeah,
they
that's
stayed
right.
in it. They battled, and that was a game that I believe went multiple overtimes, two overtimes.
Yep.
And just back and forth, shots here, shots there, but it was just too much John Diener in the end. And Jordan Johnson from Cedarburg also hit a gigantic shot that in the second overtime that eventually was the difference. And he it was kind of a little redemption from him because earlier in the regulation, he missed a layup that he probably would have loved to have back.
Yeah, no doubt.
But then he got the redemption. And then in the Division I game, Arrowhead and Brookfield Central. Arrowhead's comeback was you didn't see it coming. Brookfield Central closed out games all year long. That's what they did. But Marco Matejic, Arrowhead's best 3-point shooter, got hot in a stretch. When they needed him, I believe it was like 5 minutes left, they were down 12 or so. He hits a couple threes. They're right back in it. They get stops. And then just made huge plays down the stretch. A one-handed layup there.
Right.
Falling away at the end to go up. But Brookfield Central had their chances as well. The last possession, they got a couple good looks. They got a look at the basket that was maybe rushed a little bit. It was huge for Central that Gage Malensek fouled out in that game down the stretch, and they went scoreless at the end and allowed Arrowhead to come back. But just two great, great high school basketball games. And then the Division I final obviously wasn't close, but Cedarburg came close to slaying the favorite La Crosse Central and Kobe King in the D2 final.
Very excited to see Kobe King going forward with the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Joey Hauser, wherever he ends up, he's a junior now.
But a couple of those guys we get back next year.
Yeah, John Joey Diener, Hauser and John Diener are coming
Joey
back.
Joey Hauser, Gage Malensek will only be a junior.
Jordan McCabe of Kokana, who played an epic sectional final with Cedarburg for Cedarburg to get to state. That's one of the top players. Tyler Harrow of Whitnall, who will be here tonight, is nominated for Boys Basketball Player of the Year.
The talent level in high school basketball in this area is really high right now. There's some really, really talented kids, and they're choosing to stay here for the most part. We've seen a lot in years past of kids maybe go out to prep school and whatnot, but a lot of them are staying here. A lot of them are playing their high school basketball here and having a lot of success at the state level. And fans got to see Kobe King. The Milwaukee area, people that are Badgers fans that maybe have heard of his name, but that was the first time they maybe really got to see him play. And
I'm sure they were
impressed. And
yeah,
it's a great time for high school basketball on the boys' side and on the girls' side in our area with some high level players.
Yeah, we've thrown around a lot of superlatives, the best ever, one of the greatest ever. So I hope it doesn't sound like we're just
we aren't seeing history.
I do feel like we are. I feel like the things we talked about are pretty amazing. So one of the things that maybe isn't on the field, but we have a lot of realignment that's going to be going into play next year in all the conferences, the major ones, Classic 8, North Shore, Woodland, and Greater Metro, we'll all get a taste of it, some more than others. We're going to see the dissolution of the Wisconsin Little Ten. That is a legendary conference. It's been around forever. It will now be sending teams all a number of different ways. Wisconsin Lutheran immediately becomes one of the powers of the Woodland in many key sports. Oconomowoc goes to the Classic 8, very good natural rivalry with a lot of the teams out there. The Woodland gets a kind of a good facelift. Wauwatosa East and Wauwatosa West are now going
to
be in the same conference.
Greater Metro. The one
in the Greater Metro. Yeah, yeah. Both East wanted to go join West in the Woodland. That is not what happened. West is now joining Tosa East in the Greater Metro. Not what anybody wanted in Tosa, but that's the way it goes. And then
Germantown coming into the Greater Metro.
And Germantown going into the Greater Metro. Coming out of the North Shore, there's a lot of major rivalries at Germantown that will go by the wayside. The big one, Germantown-Homestead football comes to mind in a lot of sports. So it's going to be an interesting new look next year. There are going to be new rivalries born, and it's just going to be a very different layout.
We're going to see the first obvious China change in the football season. Obviously, it's the first major sport we see go.
Right.
And you're going to see it big time in the Classic 8 and Greater Metro, because those two conferences will no longer be playing non-conference games outside of those two conferences.
Right.
Because there's now 8 league games in each league. Then there's the mandatory Greater Metro Classic 8 crossover challenge, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So we're going to see those teams play each other. They did a lot in the past, but we're going to get to see some matchups that kind of fun. I mean, Marquette and Arrowhead, we haven't seen them play in the regular season ever.
Well, we've seen some pretty epic playoff games.
The playoffs.
Probably the greatest playoff game I ever saw, like 07, was a just nutso game.
We get to see them play in the regular season. I'm trying to think of the ones I remember at the time. Muskego and Brookfield East play. I mean, there's two good programs. Brookfield Central and Oconomowoc are playing. So we get to see that kind of, those two leagues are kind of, you know, have a tradeover game each year. And those are some of the, you know, bigger name programs in our area. And that'll be kind of fun. And they're spread out throughout the season. They're not all in just one week.
Right,
so
right.
We'll have some fun matchups like that throughout the football season. And then it's about how these other teams and other sports adapt. Some will adapt to other sports better than they will in some sports. You know, you think about, you know, the Tosas for prime example. You know, I think they'll do just, you know, continue to do just fine in basketball, you know, boys basketball and the track and field where they have some excel. But football is going to be a struggle now for Wauwatosa West. Can they adapt?
Yeah.
To move up. So it's kind of a sport by sport basis how these programs are going to adapt to their new landscape.
We thought the Classic Eight, which it is, the far and away the greatest with football conference in this state, just an incredible depth of talent, of top level and depth. We thought they were good before. Now they add Oconomowoc, which, and granted, Oconomowoc may not be at that level right out the gate. I don't know. But they bring in Greg Mauling, who was the former Arrowhead coach, four-time state, you know, state finalist in Division I, two-time state champ. So they have a frontline proven leader to lead their team. They're on the rise as it is and have been over the last several years. And now you throw in the fact that all those Classic Eight teams are playing Greater Metro teams.
Right.
I mean, you got
right.
Oconomowoc, Brookfield Central. I mean, that's just one to pick one. It's going to be insane.
Here's
it's going to be
challenge,
so intense.
At least in my opinion, for Oconomowoc, they're good enough. Obviously, they proved to play at that level. They've done it in the playoffs. The challenge of the league, like the Greater Metro and the Classic Eight, when they are strong from top to bottom, or at least depth most of the way, is every week you're getting that challenge.
Yep.
Where in the Little Ten, let's face it, they had some weeks where they would roll over.
They had some easy wins.
Now,
they don't have that.
There
now.
Might be one or two maybe in the Classic Eight, maybe.
Yep.
But 1 week you could play Arrowhead, the next week Catholic Memorial, the next week Waukesha West. And if you go 0-3 in those games, well, your playoff window is almost closed. Now you get another chance to make you have another game to get a fourth win that would more than likely get you in the playoffs. But that extra game is against Catholic Memorial or Waukesha. So what will Oconomowoc be able to survive the grind that is a Classic Eight football schedule? That'll be the test. Because, you know, game to game, if they just played one off, Oconomowoc the past few years has had as good a team as we've seen in the area, and they proved that in the playoffs by winning a couple of playoff games the last few years. But it's a grind. It's a major grind. And the last couple of years, the only teams that you could say you could push over in the Classic Eight, Waukesha South consistently. Last year North was on the rise.
Yep.
They beat Arrowhead. It's a grind in the Classic Eight football schedule. And now you add that Greater Metro team, and you're more than likely going to be matched up with a team of your kind of caliber in the standings from the year before.
Right.
So if Oconomowoc is going to be up there, they're going to play at Brookfield Central, Brookfield East, Sussex Hamilton, something like that, that it's going to give them a challenge that week, too.
It's going to be so difficult. I don't know when Oconomowoc's going to the playoffs. It's going to be really hard.
Well, they kind of fit into that. They kind of fit into that area now where in the Classic Eight, you could pencil Arrowhead, Catholic Memorial, Waukesha West,
definitely,
and then Muskego.
Yeah, Muskego won that conference two straight years. I mean, they're no slouch.
And then it was always the fight for the other teams, Kettle Moraine, sometimes Waukesha North, and then Kettle Moraine and Muguanago are the two big examples.
Yeah. Because those teams, you know, they would have done damage if they could have just gotten to the playoffs.
Can you get to that fourth win? And that's hard. And Oconomowoc, I see them kind of fitting into that mix where they're going to be fighting to get to four wins every year. And it's very hard to do. Muguanago has had some really good teams. Kettle Moraine's had some really good teams that have not made the playoffs simply because they're not good enough in that Classic Eight, which isn't producing teams going to the state final every year.
We did have a lot of powerhouses, continue to be powerhouses this year. Marquette boys soccer, Marquette boys tennis, Marquette everything pretty much. The Catholic Memorial girls volleyball team wins for the third year in a row. The Franklin, Oak Creek, Muskego, Whitnall gymnastics team. And I actually don't know this offhand if it's number five or number six.
I think it was six.
6 years in a row that they have won the state title. And so
we'll see Marquette tennis coming here in the boys tennis.
Yeah.
Coming here in the spring. Nicolet has split with them this year. They're in the same sectional. Ken Nicolay.
Yeah, that's
kind of slay the beast.
Under the radar storyline to watch for sure is that tennis battle. So, yeah. Anybody else? Any one team that we should be looking for? Maybe in this spring season. Anybody else you're looking forward to?
I think it's going to be as far as the Milwaukee area. There's going to be some soccer teams that do damage. The girls' soccer teams. There's some really good ones: Arrowhead, Brookfield Central, DSHA. They're in the same sectional.
Yeah, that's a crazy sectional.
In Division One. But there's some other, really good ranked teams. Whitefish Bay is number one in Division Two. Brookfield East is ranked in Division Two. Wauwatosa's are both ranked in Division Two. Muskego's in the top five in Division One. So there's a lot of area talented soccer teams. Grafton and Cedarburg are good in the North Shore. Classic 8 is deep. Waukesha West, Catholic Memorial.
Yeah.
DSHA. So there's a lot of Milwaukee area girls soccer teams that have a chance to be playing at state.
Division
state championships. There could be the state champions from Division 1, 2, and 3 all theoretically are probably favored to be from our area.
Yeah, that five-division layout. I don't think the intention is to benefit the Milwaukee area teams, but it has opened up a door for a team like Grafton or Catholic Memorial to win and be unencumbered by having to face these D2 teams.
Both New Berlin schools are ranked, and New Berlin Eisenhower is in Division 2, which is a tough road.
Yep.
New Berlin West is in Division 3. Not that it's an easy path. There's no easy path.
No, of course.
But it's different, and they probably have a better, So you're right. The fact is it open doors, and there's some really good girls soccer teams in our area.
Yeah, no doubt.
Some of the nation's best. Some of these schools are ranked in the nation, Brookfield Central, Arrowhead, and DS, I know, and my wife is
Catholic Bay, Memorial. Sure. Catholic if Memorial. They aren't now, they usually are.
So, that'll be fun to see how that shakes out, and they're all one sectional. And you just wrote your column on something similar like that.
Is.
Boys golf has something like that.
They do, yes.
10 of 11 years.
10 of 11 state champions have come out of this sectional.
That's
how, especially in golf, where there is, I think, a little bit element of random. It's amazing that that has happened. But that's just too loaded, in my opinion, in that particular instance.
Arrowhead's back in that one this year.
Yep.
Homestead.
Arrowhead and Homestead are the big ones.
And then Wauwatosa's got his best team ever, but they might not be able to crack those teams. Maybe they do.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be a tough call.
So, loaded sectional, boys tennis was another one. So we're getting to the playoff time.
Marquette is in there, by the way. I don't know why. I corrected myself.
We're getting to the playoff time in spring sports, starting next week with track and tennis and golf.
Yep.
So we're getting there.
Quick shout out to a bunch of athletes that we are going to be bidding adieu to. Jacob Rashka of Pewaukee, nationally ranked wrestler, won 2 state championships while he was here and was a very high-level wrestler all 4 years. He's going to Missouri, following in the footsteps of the Askrens, Ben and Max, who won national championships at Missouri. I would expect Jacob Rashka will view himself as somebody who can do that sort of thing in Missouri, and he absolutely
can. Talked about superlatives that we've used.
Yeah.
I think one fits.
One of the greatest of all time. Yes. Jacob Rashka, absolutely. Zach Clayton of Oconomowoc. He had an unbelievable football season, All-State a couple years. He was the leading scorer on the basketball team. As a junior, they had one of their best teams and won a conference title for the first time in over a decade. And then as a baseball player, that's actually where
he's going next.
He's a great baseball player. He has played in the state tournament. He's going to be going to Oregon State, which at last check was
the number one team in the nation. Great program.
So one of the best athletes that I've had the pleasure to cover myself. I mean, just across the board talent. Sydney Cooks was an McDonald's All-American girls basketball player. She makes it 2 years in a row now because we had, well, not 2 years in a row, but 2 out of 3 years we've had that because Arike Ogunbowale from DSHA, and then on the boys' side that same year, Diamond Stone and Henry Ellenson from Dominican and Rice Lake, respectively. So another great girls' basketball player coming through the pipeline. Emily Lauterbach of Arrowhead, she's a sophomore. We're not saying goodbye to her. She's just won the state golf title this past year and helped Arrowhead win by 51 strokes. They lost the previous year by 1 stroke to Middleton.
That's a crazy number.
Sneaky crazy, right? Yeah.
To win a state title by
51 strokes. 51! And considering they lost to the same team the year before, that's one of my favorite stories from the year. That they just, we're going to turn on the Jets this year. We're not going to let that happen.
I think it's
fair
to say they were the best team in the state.
They were maybe the best team. Mackenzie Schill, Pewaukee, a 2 sports standout, both soccer and basketball. She'll play at UW-Milwaukee on the soccer pitch.
Pewaukee, another girls' soccer team we left out.
Yep, but they are, I know, totally, right? All-time leading scorer in Pewaukee history and a great basketball player as well. Allie Yerkowitz, Whitefish Bay Gymnastics, 2-time all-around champion in Division II. Great story. Her mother's overcome breast cancer. She was there to watch her a couple years ago while she was undergoing treatment. It was just a beautiful story by Steve Teets, who covered Whitefish Bay at the time, and it was really really rooting for her as well. She's had a lot of success. Whitefish Bay, we mentioned powerhouses, Whitefish Bay Gymnastics.
Yes.
In a sport where everybody co-ops, that with rare exception, everybody co-ops. Whitefish Bay doesn't, and they win state titles doing it. It's pretty impressive. All right, sir. Well, thanks for joining me here in the Pabst Theater. We will do this
hopefully
again.
Hopefully your cough is better by the time you have to
go on. I don't know what happened to me. I got attacked by a cough. But yeah, we'll be on camera. We'll be on Facebook Live. Again, by the time you hear this, that will all be over. But you can find it
archived. Watch the replay.
The Journal Sentinel Facebook page. You can find me talking to our friendly athletes and Mark Stewart as well. And hopefully you get a chance to see some of the show and enjoy get a chance to enjoy this. If not this year, then certainly in the years to come. We plan on doing this year in and year out. Have a good night, Grumman.